You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
There's no limit to the opportunities in the today's Army Reserve, so there's no limit to what you can learn and achieve. The Army can strengthen you and your future. With expert training in one of over 120 different jobs for soldiers working part-time in the Army Reserve, from working with computers to assisting physicians to fixing helicopters, there's an Army Reserve job that's right for you, providing the experience that will give you an edge over your counterparts in the civilian world. You'll make regular Army pay for your initial training, for your 1 weekend drill per month, and for the 2 weeks you'll spend on active duty in the summer. The Army Reserve also offers soldiers the Selected Reserve Montgomery GI Bill that provides up to $12,000 for college. To jumpstart your future with a part-time job in the Army Reserve, call Captain Joseph Martinez at 847-530-5348.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
Well, that's good. I'm doing all right.
Good, good. I'm not ever going to vote for anybody named Mitt. I am not going to do it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I won't do it.
They're trying to make it, the establishment's trying to bring the inevitability ball rolling again.
Yep.
I don't think it's inevitable. I tell you, reports from Washington State, Ron Paul got a lot of delegates.
He did. He did an excellent job out there.
He got a lot of delegates. Yeah. He might have gotten a majority of the delegates, even though he didn't win the straw poll, which is all it was.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
So, well, either the Ron Paul people are going to be shocked when the national convention hits, when they find out that they've come up with some kind of parliamentary procedure to nullify their delegation, or the establishment's going to be shocked when they see how many Ron Paul delegates there really are.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure which way it's going to be, but somebody's going to be shocked.
I like for when the smoke clears, everyone just sits back and say, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
What just happened here?
I hope that's the case.
That would be a nice wake-up call.
Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm.
It would.
Getting excited.
I guess I want to get involved in this contraception discussion. Well, not
oh, do you really?
Yeah.
You listen on the way in, do you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that you should be forced through your health, your private health insurance, to pay for sex change operations?
To pay for my own sex change operations?
No, for anybody else's.
No.
All right.
No, I don't.
Well, see, what happens is the state, through laws that are passed, that I think you sometimes either by devil's advocacy or really, I really believe, I'm not sure, that whatever the majority says is what we, the people, the government, want to do. So legislatures pass laws that mandate to insurance companies that they must cover certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Could be sex change operations. Could be contraception.
Sure.
Could be penile enlargements. I mean, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Breast implants. It seems to me, in a free market, in a free society, I don't care what the majority says, I should be able to pick and choose the insurance package that I want that fits my needs. And that government shouldn't be mandating, imposing upon me something that I have to pay for coverage whether I want that coverage or not. That seems to be inimical, contrary to what a free society is supposed to be all about. I shouldn't be forced in the marketplace to pay for something I don't want. And that's what you got throughout. See, that's why we really don't have a market in insurance. And the more the government gets involved, the less there is a market. And that's what happens with all government plans, is they start to get their nose involved in one or two or three things. And it distorts the market. And as it distorts the market, it increases costs. And then because of the increased costs, people cry for more government to solve the problem of increased costs. So you have to support this, and you have to support this, and you have to support that. And pretty soon you have an amalgamation of different things that you don't want to support but are mandated by government. That's really the essence, I think, of what at least the more articulate Republicans are trying to point out on this issue of contraception. Now, it's gotten way out of proportion with idiotic, you know, bad attempts at humor. I know Rush Limbaugh tries to be humorous. Sometimes he succeeds, sometimes he doesn't. Evidently, he didn't succeed this time. And Rick Santorum goes over the deep end, and that gets everybody scared. But the issue should just be focused, I think, in my opinion, on the general theoretical position that if you believe in freedom, you should allow consumers and insurance companies to get together voluntarily and decide, as a consumer, what you want to pay for, and an insurance company, what you want to provide. And it shouldn't be interfered by government. So
I respect your opinion on it, but somewhere down the line, somebody went to somebody in charge and said, I have these children, they're out of wedlock, I would like some money to help pay for my children, I'm poor, I'm broke, I don't have any money, could you please help me out? Somewhere along the line, we the people said, yes, we need to help these poor children out, and that's when the law became in effect, and that's the law that we provide ourselves with today.
And that's the camel's nose on the tent. I would suggest that you could satisfy your concern without getting involving the force of the gun, from government and the gun, if you will, which is what it is. Government is force. And that is to allow private charities to handle things like that. Or some more liberal churches, if you will. Mm-hmm. Communities, extended families, neighbors.
And I'm sure there's programs available right now for
so
that
why,
do exactly
why
that.
Get, why get the long arm of the government involved in that? Once you do that, then you allow the government to dictate every aspect of your life, because then that's the philosophy, that as long as the majority agrees that we should kill Jews, then let's go kill Jews. I know you don't say that, but that's what it leads to.
Okay, and if the majority of us says let's do that, then let's do that.
Really?
Absolutely. I know it sounds horrible because you use such a horrible, outlandish deal, and of course I would never say let's go kill all the
Jews. So you really believe in democracy? You really believe in democracy to such an extent that you think the majority should will out no matter what, that there is nothing that is inviolate about individual rights, including life?
I have faith in my fellow human beings that we will all make the correct choice moving forward. Yes, I agree.
You have faith in democracy. You have faith. So you thought it was right when the Greeks put Socrates to death by majority rule.
Had I been around at that time, if that's what the majority rules, then I would have to live with that. Whether I believe it personally or don't believe it personally, I would fight for or against
it. You understand
it.
That's not what this country is founded on.
I need to accept what the laws have been passed.
No, but the laws are the primary law, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. Then the founding fathers instilled a Constitution that protected individual rights irrespective of the majority.
I think it's okay to drive on the left side of the road. I think if I get in my car, I can drive down the left side of the road if I feel like driving down. Screw the lines down the middle. Screw the traffic lights. Screw everybody, and pedestrians included. I'll drive my car whenever.
No, nobody's talking about libertinism. Nobody's talking about about going out and doing whatever you please and hurting people.
Well, no one's talking about killing all the Jews either,
we're talking about what's mandated about the Constitution.
I'm telling you, some laws are correct and some laws are incorrect, and it's for us, we the people.
No, but you just said earlier, Mike, you said that whatever the majority says is okay.
I would accept that. I do. I accept every law that's passed, and I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Including laws that allowed Jews to be killed in Nazi Germany, then.
Including all laws. We went to war in Iraq, and I support the war. I support my troops. I support what my government is doing. I support my government.
Right or wrong? America, right or wrong?
I will fight for what I believe is right or wrong, and in the meantime, I do what I'm told to do as how I'm told to do it. It's the truth.
That's really unfortunate and scary.
It's not unfortunate and scary. It's the way our government system is
not.
Set up.
No, actually, the original patriots.
I'm not talking about original patriots. That was 200 years
ago. So what? Why does that principle change?
Because over 200 years, we've evolved into what we are today.
Which is worse than what King George was giving the colonists.
In your opinion.
No, I think based on objective facts. If you look at the taxes that they revolted against, if you looked at... even the King George didn't assert the power to assassinate British citizens.
So slavery was okay for you?
No.
Killing Indians is okay for you?
No, absolutely not.
Migrating out west and taking every piece of parcel?
Why are you putting that into me?
Asking you because everything was so good 200, 250
years ago. No, I didn't say everything was good. I said I'm talking about the theory.
Okay.
I'm talking about what the theory was of the Founding Fathers. Obviously... there's things that should be improved upon.
Exactly.
And they were improved upon through amendment. The amendatory process,
which is
per the Constitution.
And how are these
But there's no
made?
Amendment, there's no amendment, Mike, that allows majority will over individual rights.
How are these amendments made? Is that a majority of the people saying
It's not a majority. It's two-thirds of Congress and three-fourths of the states. That's not a majority, first of all.
Well, sounds like more of a majority to me.
It's more. Majority is 50+1%.
We the people got together and said it's okay for women to get the right to vote.
Okay.
We the people have decided that it's okay to give people who have children money.
Because that doesn't run contrary to the fundamental belief in individual liberty. In fact, it enhanced the belief in individual liberty. And that's what this country was founded on, individual liberty. Not majority rule. Thomas Paine called democracy the most vile form of government.
So individual liberty, your liberty is different than my liberty.
No, we're all the same, and your and my liberty is restrained by the natural laws that prohibit force and fraud. As long as I don't infringe on your equal rights, and you don't infringe my equal rights, we have the freedom to do what we want, as long as it's going to hurt anybody else in the process.
See, now the liberty that you might hold true is different than my liberty. What to you is liberty? Philosophically speaking, could you describe to me what your liberty is?
My liberty as an adult human being should extend that I should be able to do whatever I please as long as it doesn't use force or fraud against another individual human being.
Okay. So we can agree on that liberty.
Yes.
Until the fact comes where your liberty and my liberty don't jive together.
How does that ever not jive?
Well, I'm sure that you want more things out of life than I want different things out of life.
No, but I'm not preventing you getting whatever you want. I'm just suggesting to you, per the what was established in our country, that there are certain things that would prohibit you from forcing onto others. And using the government as force. That's what I'm opposed to. That's what libertarians are opposed to. And that's what most of the Founding Fathers were opposed to. Using the government as force, which would actually restrict liberties, not the opposite.
So you feel like you're being forced to help out children who are born
through the point of a gun. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
And it has nothing to do with you feeling that the child needs help.
If it needs help, I'll do that personally. I'll help them personally, or I'll contribute to some organization that'll help them. That's the non-coercive, real charitable thing to do. Once you get involved with government and guns and force, it's extortion. It's not charity.
There isn't enough charitable forces out there to take care of all the children who need help.
You don't know that, first of all, number one. Number two, two wrongs don't make a right. Just because you think that's wrong, that there's not enough, doesn't mean using force to solve that problem is a moral solution. Anyway.
What do you want me to say?
Not a thing. It's fine. Whatever. Let's move on.
fine.
Okay, what do we got here? Oh, we haven't got to the stupid regulation. Oh, we're going to have to apologize for our... We got a guest coming up. Real quick. A four-year-old in kindergarten class draws a picture of a gun. And the father's handcuffed and thrown in jail.
For a picture that the kid drew?
Yep.
Yeah. Is there more to that story?
Well, evidently, she thought that there was a representation of her father in the picture with the gun. And so I guess the authorities were afraid that he was some kind of drug-dealing killer or something. They actually threw him in jail.
Really?
Never charged with anything. Finally let him out. But strip-searched him because the daughter drew a gun. This was, where was this at? Well, this is in Canada. Waterloo, Ontario. Canada. All right, so that's that, and we'll cut that short because we do have a guest, and get my papers together. Sarah Goff, she is the American Majority of Illinois' representative, and we're going to talk to her about maybe about the budget, about Quinn's budget. And about positions of the American Majority Illinois in general. And we'll do that after we break for a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program right now Sarah Goff. Is that how you pronounce your name, Sarah?
You got it right. Everyone butchers it except for you. It's like
Goff,
right. But with a G. Go ahead and make the joke.
So you are of the – well, you're a representative of American Majority Illinois, the president or
I am the executive director for American Majority here in Illinois. We are a national, nonprofit, nonpartisan 501c3 organization, so we cannot endorse candidates, but what we do is we train and equip conservative activists and candidates to be effective.
Conservative. Okay, so you say conservative candidates. How do you decide, would you define a conservative?
Well, you know, if someone comes to our training, we can't kick someone out of our training if they're not conservative, but really a conservative is someone who truly wants to defend our Constitution, that really cares about the people and equipping them with what they need to take care of themselves instead of having the government taking care of everyone.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. So go ahead. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
So, but actually, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I would just want to make a comment. I'm not sure if what I heard earlier was what was actually on air.
It was on air.
The commercial break.
Yes.
For the commercial break, were those the ads that were on the commercial break?
Oh.
There was something about jurors.
Oh, Fully Formed Jury Association. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I have to say, I had to take some time off of American Majority earlier this year because I was summoned for jury duty. And, you know, chances are they don't want someone on the jury who is conservative. But I was chosen, and I just have to encourage, you know, conservatives and libertarians to be as involved as possible, even when they're summoned for jury duty. So many people were telling me to be extreme when I was asked questions to be selected.
So that you could get knocked off the jury right away.
Right, right. But we need to be on the jury. In fact, I was the only one on the jury that wanted to find for the defendants. And this was a case where, you know, if I wasn't on that jury, two police officers' lives would have been ruined because they made injuries smaller than the size of a pea to a couple of kids that threatened their lives. And you see how insane this is, that some kids wanted a couple of million dollars from the city because of this? And you see how close it was that our tax dollars were going to go to that? So I'm just saying,
And that's exactly the point of having fully informed jurors, is to actually rule on your conscience and what you believe is constitutional or your concept of right and wrong, despite what the judge tells you about what the law is.
So it is definitely our civic responsibility to be on jury duty if we are selected. And I see so many people that try to run from it, and I just want to encourage people.
Very good.
You know, take time out of your schedule. Do it.
Right.
I don't want to spend too much time on that.
Agreed on that. You probably have gathered or know from maybe previous research or whatever that I am not a conservative. I'm a libertarian, and there are differences between conservatives and libertarians. And that's why I asked you how you define a conservative, and you really gave a definition for what a limited conservative is, a limited government conservative is. Mm-hmm. And before we get into stuff we agree with, because that's boring, we're going to all agree on the ridiculousness of the bloated budgets of Illinois and federal government and what have you. But it's my real, I mean, of course, the economy is overwhelming. The problems of the economy and the debt are overwhelming in this country. But what scares me even more is the encroachment on individual rights, the destruction of the Fourth and Fifth Amendments through the Patriot Act, through an assertion of a president that they can assassinate American citizens, through the passage of the National Defense Authorization Act that would allow the military to apprehend U.S. citizens, throw them in a Guantanamo, no rights, no jury, no lawyers, just throw away the key to American citizens. I wonder if the American Majority, Illinois, has any position on that.
Well, we definitely agree that the government has gotten far too big, and in many ways that is our fault for not being engaged and involved. In order for the government to be what the government was intended, what our, you know, founding fathers had intended this government to be, it really requires individuals to be engaged and responsible within their communities. And, I mean, this ties into the budget and how insane this budget is. And the governor's budget address, in many ways, it was a joke. It is so bloated because of many reasons. Our elected officials are in the business of self-preservation. And, of course, they are going to promise people that the government will take care of them. That's why we have over 50% of those in Illinois dependent on government aid in some way. And therefore, people are no longer being fully responsible for themselves because they expect the government will pick up, you know, their responsibilities in these areas. And so the government gets so big, and then our liberties are taken away. And we have insane laws.
No question what you're saying, and I'd like to compliment you on an excellent pivot from my position on personal rights to the budget. But I just want to make one last comment on that, and that is that it's people who call themselves conservatives are the ones who are most vociferously in favor of these laws that are passed, these unconstitutional laws that are passed that are taken away any smidgen left of the Bill of Rights. And I would just hope that leaders, and you as executive director of American Majority of Illinois, you are one leader, and of course the elected politicians are other leaders, that the conservatives would understand what they're really advocating here. My point is, if I don't care if we have, if we've solved all the economic problems, I don't want to live in society that I have no personal rights.
Right.
It's not worth it. To me, I'd rather live as a poor free man than a rich slave.
Right.
And so it's disheartening to hear those who call, because at one point in time, my earlier years, I called myself a limited government conservative until, again, I saw the discontinuity of philosophy, that the freedoms that conservatives believed only went so far, and then they became authoritarians on other issues. Oh, but let's go back to the budget. What is Quinn? What is he proposing that you would consider? Is the debt being reduced? We have the bond ratings in Illinois that are about the worst in the nation, aren't they? Is Quinn doing anything about the pension problems or any of the other problems that are mushrooming the debt here in Illinois?
He says he is, but we're not seeing anything. We're being told that something will come. For example, I mean, I believe it's April 17th is the deadline for a particular committee to submit their proposal. So how can that be a budget, saying that there's a deadline for a proposal? So I don't believe that we have truly, you know, seen what his budget is.
Okay, well, I saw a budget. There is a budget online from the state of Illinois. Is that, and I just looked at the summary, actually. I didn't have time to take a look at the whole thing. But I thought they actually had published a budget online.
They do, but I don't feel it's complete until they express what they're going to do with the pension crisis.
Okay, so you want to see the specifics legislatively.
True, because without the specifics, you can throw so much money in one area, and if that money is not used appropriately, it will never be enough. For example, we could have, you know, we could all be taxed at 99% and still not have it be enough if the state and the government is not spending money the proper way and if there's waste. So how is the money being used?
Yeah,
and I know that in order to see every little detail like that, we're going to see a budget that's a mile high of stacked papers.
And I would say it seems to me that the pensions are probably the biggest problem we have fiscally.
Correct.
Here in Illinois. Now, there are some who argue that a contract's a contract, and if all these municipal employees and the teachers, if they allow these six-figure pensions into perpetuity, that's a contract, and we can't take that away. How do we solve the pension problem as far as how it's burgeoning the deficit and debt here in Illinois?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I guess my question is, what would you suggest as the American Majority of Illinois? How do we get out of this problem with the pension plans here, the state pension plans, the municipal employee teachers' pension plans? They're just taking over the budget. Mm-hmm. How do we reform that so that we can lessen the harm that's caused by these pension plans?
Well, America Majority doesn't have an official stand on that, but personally, I feel our teachers should, you know, just like the rest of us, you know, should invest in a 401k. When it comes to financial matters, nothing is a guarantee. For several years, I was wholesaling financial securities, and if I were to use the word guarantee, I would essentially practically lose my Series 7 licensing. And even if I were to tell a financial advisor that with this investment, his clients would get an 8% return, that's unheard of. And there would have to be so many signatures on many forms and so much paperwork that goes with that. There is no guarantee when it comes to financial matters. And therefore, in many ways, there is no real guarantee when it comes to these pensions.
Okay. So I guess what you're saying is if the state runs out of money, we can't pay these pensions.
Right.
And we're going to have to readjust the scheduling of how they get paid out.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Cause I mean, you've got the problem with the contracts, but if there's nothing there, if you can't squeeze any more blood out of the tournament, how are you going to get it? You know, get that blood.
Right.
All right. Now we have, of course, after Quinn took office a few years ago, he instituted this, 60% income tax increase here in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some of the big boys threatening to leave the state, like the Mercantile Exchange and Sears and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened with that? They pretty much got what they wanted, didn't they? They got some tax breaks?
Yes, and it is nice to see businesses staying here in Illinois. However, that may not have been the best move. I mean, Illinois needs to make reforms that will make this a more business-friendly state, which... It definitely is not, but it's not just for the large businesses. It needs to be more of a business-friendly state for the smaller businesses. And those are that's the majority of the businesses that we see crossing the state lines. You know, we have so many businesses that are going to Wisconsin and Indiana and all throughout the country. So it's not just the larger businesses. What is the governor and what is Springfield doing to make, to help create jobs for the local businesses? For the smaller ones, I think that's an area that we need to focus on, not just the big, you know, not just bailing out, you know, large businesses and providing, you know, additional tax breaks for the big guns.
Well, it seems that once you allow crony capitalism to evolve, I don't know how it can be stopped, because one state is always gonna try to outcompete versus another state and to the big boys. And say, we'll give you this and this and this if you come to our state. And it becomes a really tough thing to stop. And meanwhile, as you say, then the small business and just the taxpayers in general, they're paying. They are paying a penalty for the fact that these other big boys get subsidies. And it happens, through tax increment financing, too. Yeah. Walmart gets a lot of these... new buildings, new Walmarts being put up all over the place with 20-year tax exemptions through tax increment financing.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to Main Street, the small businessman on Main Street when that happens?
Well, they're having a hard time staying in business when the big shops are coming in town. And I believe in the free market system. You know, I went to Hillsdale College, libertarian/conservative school. I adore Ludwig von Mises, but we live in a free market system, and it's difficult to maintain a free market system when the government makes it difficult for the small businesses to stay in business. And I understand if a business completely fails, there might be a reason why, but when the government is funding the larger businesses, it makes it harder for the competition, and our country needs our competition in order to, in many ways, limit the government and in order to, you know, give more power to the people.
Well, it seems to me there's only way to stop this, and that is for a U.S. Supreme Court to decide to enforce the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which is that prohibits unequal treatment under the law. And any time you have any kind of tax plan or subsidy or whatever that is directed to one business, one industry, one group of individuals versus another, it seems to me there's unequal treatment of the law. And I just don't see how legislatively we're gonna beat this thing. It's gonna get worse and worse and worse. That's what's happened with the banks in this country. Now they're even more consolidated than ever, and become even more big to fail than ever, because of the subsidies. And there's no self-correcting mechanism, as far as I can tell. We're headed to one bad direction, unless we would have a heroic U.S. Supreme Court that finally says enough is enough, and we have to have equal protection under the law.
This is scary. This is extremely scary, and that's why what I'm doing with American Majority, and what American Majority is doing in all the states that we have offices. We need to train individuals to know how to uphold their civic responsibility, to be active, to be engaged, not just attending a meeting once a month and complaining about how horrible our system is, but giving them the tools that they need in order to make change. What to, you know, to attend school board meetings, to be a voice, to have these difficult conversations with their friends, their family, families, their coworkers. To find new leaders to run for office. For far too long, Illinois has had the spirit of apathy, and we can't afford to continue it. We need everyone to be engaged and involved and to take ownership of our state, to take ownership of our government, not just rely on other people to do it.
Okay, we're talking with Sarah Goff. She is the executive director of American Majority Illinois. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Any questions, observations, perspectives, give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute, and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Sarah Goff with the American Majority Illinois. What do you say we go to the phone, Sarah?
Sure.
All right, we have Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
How you doing today?
All right.
Hi, Sarah. A question for you, and this goes to, I think, part of what you had mentioned. How do we get together as a people, considering the amount of money that is spent on these campaigns with the major media tied into this establishment? How do you get the message out? We all know that it, you know, something has to be done, but how do you do it?
That's a very good question, and a lot of people are not getting involved because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to get the message out. We definitely cannot rely on social media, but however, social media is an excellent tool to use to help. And using Facebook and Twitter, that's fantastic. And there are many individuals that either don't know how to use it or are afraid to. If you go to our website, we have guides on how to use it and also video tutorials. So go to AmericanMajority.org, go under our resources tab, and you will find them there. There are a lot of resources that we have on our website, not just how to use social media, but also how to properly tell your story. There's an excellent 3-minute video that helps with that. So I'd encourage everyone to go on our website, check out the resources, many, many things that will help you with that. We also have our trainings, but not just that. It's important to have conversations with people in your lives. Yes, the establishment does have money. Yes, you know, the strong liberals do have a lot of money. But what we need to do is we need to take our passion and we need to use it, not just bottle it up. We need to find the candidates in our backyards, and not just in our local hometowns, but also, you know, within our counties and states. And we need to help them out, not just complain about our government, but we need to start participating. So if it means if there isn't a nonprofit organization or if there isn't a particular organization in your area that organizes individuals, find a candidate that you believe in, call them up, and ask, what can I do to help? And if there isn't a candidate that you believe in, well, then maybe you should consider either running for office yourself, or maybe you should, you know, try to find out who within your community should run. I could go on for 3 days.
Yeah, sounds like great advice to me. I'd love to see somebody run as a libertarian against whoever the Republican nominee is here in this district for Congress, who voted to reenact the Patriot Act. So I'll be busy doing that myself, Sarah, trying to find somebody who really believes in freedom in every aspect of our lives and not just economically.
Yes, and it's very important for us to know what we believe. And if we don't know what we believe, then we need to figure that out. Because if we don't know what we believe and if we don't stand up for it, then we're going to then we're essentially letting other people take over our country. And if we're not engaged and if we're not involved individually, personally, then in many ways we don't have a right to complain. It's come to a point where, yes, we need to vote, but voting isn't enough.
Well, and some people would say voting, unfortunately, is futile.
Fraudulent.
Futile if I don't know how closely you've been watching these, especially the Republican caucuses, Sarah, but there seems to be so much vote fraud going on in these caucuses. There was actually 1,500 people turned away from voting in Washington State over the weekend.
Yeah.
This is just absolutely incredible to me. They should stop the election. How can you disenfranchise 1,500 people? Go ahead.
You know, it's interesting. Vote fraud is so common. And I have two little stories. When I was working for Thune in South Dakota to defeat Tom Daschle, there's video on the Indian reservations of people handing out wads of cash to folks as they're walking in to vote.
Right.
There's videos of that. But because there's a different judicial system on the Indian reservations, we can't do anything about it. But it's not just in those areas where we have the vote fraud. It is all over the place. And the second thing I want to bring up is a couple of months ago, I was listening to a speech that Ronald Reagan gave at Hillsdale back in the 70s. And he was talking about how dangerous it would be if we did not have to show our voter registration cards when we go vote, because they were considering not having to have the voter registration cards, but being able to just have your driver's license. But it's come to a point where, to be honest, I am personally registered to vote in four places. I mean, I'm not voting multiple times, but I'm personally registered in four different places because when I move, they're not doing anything to clear up my registration where I moved from, although I've informed them. And then also, other people can go and say that they're me, give my name, and vote for me. And if I have to show an ID to buy Drano, well then, I mean...
Oh, boy, that's just another issue you brought up I could talk about for hours.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, I personally believe that we should show our ID when we go to vote. I think that would eliminate a lot of the vote fraud.
At least some of it.
Yeah,
it is unfortunate. There are some precincts where there was actually more votes cast than there were people there. It gets very discouraging. It gets very discouraging. I think there's one of the Republican presidential candidate that's having the election actually stolen from him. But I know you guys can't get political, so I won't get too much involved in that. So we had Jeff is off. Jeff quit.
Yeah, Jeff.
All right,
didn't
there's
have time
some chance
on.
If you want to get back, Jeff. Let's go back to the budget a little bit in Illinois. One of the areas that costs have burgeoned, I believe, in the state is in the prison system. And again, we have in America, we have more people in prison per capita than anywhere else in the world. It's not even close. Russia or China or South Africa, you name it. And may I suggest maybe one thing we could do is start decriminalizing victimless crimes, such as, you know, toking on a bit of marijuana or whatever, to imprison people at $66,000 a year. Is that worth it?
That's a lot of money to imprison people. I mean, personally, I can live on far less than that. But another question is, are there excessive expenses? I was thinking about this in the car earlier today. How much does it cost the taxpayers to feed someone for one day in the prison system? I bet I eat on less money a day.
And I'm sure you eat better, too, for less.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question about it, and I'm sure we could save a lot of money in the prisons through some kind of reforms, except to reform government is so difficult because all the – and as a student from Hillsdale College, I'm sure you understand this. All the incentives are perversed.
Yeah.
The more inefficient you are, the more money you get in your bureaucracy. Whereas in the private markets, you better be efficient or you're out of business right away. So it's a tough thing. It's a tough nut to crack to try to make government more efficient. But I think it's a horrible statistic that we have more people in prison in this country per capita than anywhere else in the world. And then that we should rethink the drug war, the unconstitutional drug war.
It is ridiculous that we have so many people in the prison system. And not to get too much into morality, but I think it has to do with, the demoralization of this nation and the lack of personal responsibility. If individuals are taught to have personal responsibility, if parents teach their children to have personal responsibility, we probably won't have so many people in the prison.
That begs the question, I would say. How does that happen? Is this generation or subsequent generations in America just naturally becoming more? Do they have all of a sudden bad personal responsibility genes that happen?
Not at all.
No, there's other reasons. There's other reasons for the fact that there's less personal responsibility. And maybe just because government has decided to be our fop daddy in our Miami.
Exactly. Actually, I did my thesis, this was a long time ago, but at Hillsdale, I did my thesis on this, on the union of charity and personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that individuals, churches, and businesses were the ones to provide charity. And therefore, it wasn't just handouts given. There was training and education that came with it, and those receiving the aid and the support really wanted to better themselves, either to pay back or to pay forward. And then after the world wars with the Depression, the government decided that they needed to step in, that they needed to be the one to, give handouts. And with that, individuals, businesses, and companies started to step back and not help out as much because, essentially the government's doing that for us. But then those that were receiving the welfare, it became more of an entitlement. Oh, it's from the government. It's the government's responsibility to give that for us. And I don't need to work because the government will take care of me.
It sounds like you may have used some of Charles Murray as your resource for your thesis, in pursuit of happiness and good government.
Right. But then imagine with generation after generation after generation like that, we get to a country like this.
Yep.
So
it's a fundamental change we have to make. We have to break for a couple messages, and we'll be right back.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back. And Sarah, if the people want to find out more about American Majority Illinois, how can they do that?
AmericanMajority.org.
All right, AmericanMajority.org. Sarah J. Goff, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All righty. On to the quotation of the week. This is from P.J. O'Rourke. Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.